28, 27, 26, 25, 24, 23, 22, 21, 20, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I don't know what to say, really. 3 minutes to the biggest battle of our professional lives. All comes down to today. Inch by inch, play by play, we can fight our way back into the light. We can climb out of hell. 1 inch at a time. Things get taken from. I mean, that's part of life. But you only learn that when you start losing stuff. You find out life's this game of inches. The inches we need are everywhere around us. They're in every break of the game, every minute, every second. On this team, we fight for that inch. On this team, we tear ourselves to pieces for that inch. We claw with our fingernails for that inch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the f***ing difference between winning and losing. It's the guy who's willing to die who's going to win that itch. And I know if I'm going to have any life anymore, it's because I'm still willing to fight and die for that itch. Because that's what living is. There's 6 inches in front of your face. Now, I think you're going to see a guy who will go that inch with you.
Hell yeah.
You're going to see a guy who will sacrifice himself for this team because he knows when it comes down to it, you're going to do the same for him. That's a team, gentlemen. Now, what are you going to do?
Appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Johnson 970. Live, baby, live. Undeniably, irrefutably, irreplaceably, indisputably. It is
the Rick Emerson Show.
Thank you for coming by, Megan, and part of your broadcast listening day. It's 3 minutes and 35 seconds after the hour of noon in this, the month of March, in the year of our Lord 2006. Appreciate your broadcast patronage today. I feel like I've done a whole bunch of drugs. It's one of those things where time seems to have slowed down and sped up all at once. Before we do anything further, before we do one other single solitary lone thing,
Let me give you this number, which you may or may not want, you may or may not need. I can't imagine there's anything on your mind, anything you want to talk about. I can't imagine there's anything going through your brain that you feel you need to discuss. But in the unlikely event you have anything that you'd like to weigh in on, let me give you this number. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. So here we are. I no longer have to pretend to be a morning person. I no longer have to feign enthusiasm about being up and on the microphone at 9 a.m. I still have to be here at 7 a.m., but it's for an entirely different set of reasons. We thank you for coming by. The Rick Emerson Show is here. We are broadcasting from beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon, the city I call home because I wouldn't go anywhere else. So we thank you for being there. We have a lot to talk about. We have a lot to get up to speed with, my friends. Welcome, my friends. Welcome to my world. I'm going to have to nip that in the bud right now. I'm just going to start falling into doing my same old crap. I'm just going to fall into talking like Bruce Williams again. Before we do anything further, before we take one other step into this edition of the Rick Emerson Show, we'd like to welcome a few other people whose names and voices may be familiar to y'all in some way. Running the board, the nucleus, the nerve center, the linchpin, the head cheese of the Rick Emerson Show, one Sarah X. Dillon. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, I had a lot of caffeine this morning.
Oh.
So we got to say, first and foremost, we're being followed around by these guys from the Willamette Week today. So if you hear flashbulbs are popping in the background and the scribbling of biros, our good friend Mark Baumgarten is here from the Willamette Week. A woman named Jen is here taking some photographs. So we are here at the Johnson 970 studio doing the Rick Emerson Show as we do it. Sarah's running the board and keeping things focused, helping to harness what might be charitably called an abundance of energy flowing out of me today.
I'm trying.
So, and we got a studio that I would say is about, let me estimate here. I want to be generous. I will say the studio we're in today is probably 14% done. So if you hear like hammering, pounding, fires being set, walls collapsing, don't pay that. No, never mind.
Yeah, the engineers just left about 6 minutes ago.
Seriously, and the engineers they all hate our asses. Hey, before we do anything else, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show the one, the only Tim Riley. How are you, sir?
It feels so good to be working.
And this is nothing like an iPod.
No,
it's really not. So Tim Riley is here. He's in the Johnson 970 newsroom today working on the following stories for your edification.
All right, let's begin. Mystery surrounds the death of one of our favorite dictators. And what has happened is to happen. Slobodan Milosevic, was he poisoned? We'll try to pull back the curtain of secrecy. The president jokes about Dick Cheney shooting a friend in the face during a side-splitting dinner roast. We'll attempt to catch up on watches at our first day back with the Jackson Clergy Religious Nutcase Watch and the ever-popular, because you asked for it, Penis Watch.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Doing what I can to make the world a better place. All right, so, let's see, and the phones are already, as the kids would say, the phones are off the hook. And we'll
and
try
we have no call screen.
There are 16,000 messages on the inbox already.
We have no call screen. We have nothing, except our massive amount of copious talent with which we will attempt to entertain you today. Let me give you a brief. I'm already reaching that point though, where I've in my head the comments have begun hyperlinking to one another, and as I open my mouth to say something, I'm already wanting to say the second and third, like follow-up things before I even finish the initial thought. So let me stop and tell you this. Coming up later on today, we got our good friend Gary Baumgarten from CNN Radio is going to be joining us today. And it's been a long time since we talked to that guy. We got one of the things about working here at Johnson 970, which is we are a wholly owned subsidiary or a sibling company. What the hell are we? We're a something. We're owned by
CBS.
We're owned by somebody. We're owned by a company that's owned by another company, and then there's some other company above that. And
anyway, it's no place that any of us have ever worked.
But at some point in this weird incestuous daisy chain of a company that we've got here, I am a co-worker now with Gary Baumgarten, Jim Roop, Dick Uliano, John Bisney, Pat St. Clair in Atlanta, who hates me, all of those CNN folks. So we're going to be talking to Gary Baumgarten later on today about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominations. Coming up in the 2 o'clock hour of the show, Peter Carlin is going to weigh in on the Return of the Sopranos, which happened last night. It was like a Dylan and the Dead thing. It was like Rick and Tony together at last, coming back at the same time. We will recap the Sopranos We have a top five coming up later on today, the top five comeback albums of all time. And, of course, we're going to get your phone calls. We're going to take your email. Coming up next hour, and I want to be very clear about this point right now. We are not going to shirk our duty. We know what you want to talk about. We know what you want to hear. We know what's on your mind. We know what you want to discuss. We know what you want to hold forth on. And we will not let you down on that score. So coming up, I don't know, about 48 minutes from now, we'll kind of touch on it throughout this hour. Coming up next hour, we will tell you the whole sordid story. As it says in a million lame, cliched high school yearbooks, my friends, what a long, strange trip it has been. And this last 11 months, you think it's been difficult for you? You ought to try being on this side of the microphone sometime. We will talk about the birth of the Unpleasantness 2.0, what happened to us during the last 11 months, where we almost went, where we didn't go, why we left, how we left. We'll talk about Sarah Dillon and leaving the Rick Emerson Show a week before we went off the air. Sorry, I don't know where it came from. And we'll talk about the delivery of 500,000 coffee cups to the good folks at Intercom Radio. Because I know you're listening. Driving around in your Lexus. Wondering how you're going to meet next month's sales revenue projection. Trying to sell Herman's Hermits records to people who don't. I'm sorry. Think about going back to the Blazers. So we'll talk about all that coming up next hour. Plus your phone calls. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. That is all on the way. But first, because I know you've missed it. I know you've wanted it. I know you've pined. You've longed. You've jonesed for it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start this hour with something that I've missed doing. We haven't done this for about 3.5 years. Would you please stand back, make way, and open your eyes, your ears, your minds, and your hearts for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. From the City Desk, it's Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, live, yes, live, at 12:12 p.m. on Monday, March 13th, 2006, after nearly a year absence from the airwaves, as incredible as this may seem, from our new studios at 9:70 a.m. at long last, CBS Radio presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting with our top story. Let's find out who died with a snuff watch.
Here's your snuff watch for Monday.
And how fortunate we are on our first day back. One of our favorite dictators bites the dust.
I'd like to thank so many people for getting together and dying at the last minute. I was worried we weren't going to have anybody to talk about. Because I'm, like many of you, I get around, I wallow around like a pig in so much barnyard slop in the death of celebrities. And so every day I go to my Yahoo, because Yahoo.com is my homepage, and I know it should be CBS.com. Whatever, but it's not. It's Yahoo. And every day I go there, and there's that little news box, you know, when you go to Yahoo.com, and it's right there, the lower right hand of the screen. And it's like sometimes you go there, and it's sort of like playing video poker. You know, you put the money in, and you hit the button, and you're waiting for your clubs or your flush or whatever to come up, and then sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. When I go to Yahoo and no one has died, a little part of me withers away inside. But sometimes, today, within the last 3 days, I think, 3 or 4, there's been 2 celebrities who have died. One of them just died this morning. It's almost like she did it for me. And we'll tell you who that is coming up next. Tim?
Traces of a drug used to treat leprosy and tuberculosis were found in a blood sample taken in recent months from former Yugoslav President Slobodan Milosevic.
What?
Leprosy and tuberculosis.
That's something you don't tell
someone. All in the same pill.
Yeah, okay.
The report came hours after Milosevic's legal advisor showed journalists a letter the late Serb leader wrote on Friday, one day before his body was discovered in prison, alleged he had been poisoned.
Where would you even get leprosy now? That's almost like an appointment disease. You got to go on Craigslist or seeking.
You got to work for it.
Seeking woman with you know, no children and leprosy.
Well, anyway, Serb authorities will not make any special arrangements for the former leader.
There will be no flags at half staff. There will be no military honors for the president. And there will be no special place in a Belgrade cemetery called the Alley of the Greats, which is sort of set aside an area of the...
It's just he's going to be in the alley of the bastards we're glad to be rid of.
Meanwhile, pathologists had determined that Milosevic's cause of death was a myocardial infarction. a medical term for heart attack.
It's a heart attack. I can't imagine what would have brought him. Did you ever notice that all the... See, I'm not going to do it,
You're
though.
Already
No,
starting.
no, because I didn't do it in the Andy Rooney voice. I didn't, at the last minute, I pulled it back. I didn't do that. Did you ever notice? See, because the Andy Rooney voice, that's one of those things that I just fell into doing for the longest time. But you know the new version of the Andy Rooney voice? Because the Andy Rooney voice used to be that was like the morning show hack voice, where you would get some guy, you know, some coffee-swilling guy from the production department who could do a passable Andy Rooney, and then that was what sort of... That was what passed for clever, where you would just get on the, did you ever notice the... But the new Andy Rooney is the Seinfeld. It's the what is the deal. So I will eschew both of those cliches.
Meanwhile,
yes, I have a point. My point is, it's past now. My point, though, is going to be that all the genocide guys, like the only people who ever die slowly and horribly are like the people, like God never kills the people in a really excruciating way that deserve it. Because it's like, what's it, Pol Pot, who killed like... I don't know, like a skillion people? Mark, you're a journalist. How many people did Pol Pot kill? A quarter of the population.
He was a big skull collector.
And that's just, it's not even... The good news is you're going to be joining my collection. The bad news is he killed like 7 million people, died peacefully at home, sleeping in his bed. And then like, and then Hitler died peacefully. I mean, except for the being on fire part on his honeymoon. And then Milosevic dies in his cell, you know, whereas, you know, I'm going to have a thyroid the size of a softball. And then, all right, now let's move on.
Meanwhile, in Serbia, his loyalists burned the only candle they could find in the country. And elderly women sobbed and kissed his photograph because that's what old people do with dictators.
That's fantastic. And then they're not going to bury him anywhere. They're just that guy that we just heard in the soundbite, the guy that sounded like Gareth from The Office. They're just going to kick him out of an airplane or just going to put him, somebody's going to put him in a pepper mill somewhere or whatever. Well, goodbye.
Meanwhile, Maureen Stapleton, the Oscar-winning character actress, whose vulnerability and down-to-earth toughness earned her dramatic and comedic roles on stage, screen, and television, died today. She was 80. She was a longtime smoker who was living in Lenox, Massachusetts. She died from the disease. Stapleton, whose unremarkable matronly appearance valued her star personality, kind of like a Shelley Winters.
That's what we're going to refer to Sarah Dillon as having for now, and her unremarkable, wait, hold on, unremarkable matronly appearance. That's like when they...
Thank you.
That's like when they call somebody a handsome woman. That's like one of those, like, well, she's a very handsome woman.
Put that on a gravestone.
It means she was a handsome woman, which means she's got huge hands and like a schlong. This, when they say character actor, that's code for you have no idea who she is. That's when you say, like how many times have you heard that? Like, you don't know who they are, but if you saw their face, you'd know. She was... I always get her confused. Who played Edith Bunker?
Oh, that's Jean Stapleton.
Are they sisters?
I have no idea. That's a good question.
Mark Baumgarten, your reporter. Are they sisters?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Straight from the Willamette Week.
I hope he's right.
They're sisters. So Jean Stapleton, living. Maureen Stapleton, not. Dead.
Right.
Okay, dead as a service to the show. Okay, well done, Maureen. Thank you. Excellent. Well done. She was in Interiors. She was in that Woody Allen film, Interiors.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was also in Johnny Dangerously, Cocoon, The Money Pit, and Addicted to Love.
The Money Pit. Addicted to Love, that's a good last film to go out on. That's like Raul Julia making Street Fighter and then dying. Excellent. Way to go out on top. She, if you don't know who she is, she looks just like Large Marge from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Like she could probably put a fist right through your face. All right.
And that is today's Snuff Watch.
There's your Snuff Watch from Monday, March 13th. I don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable, so I'm just going to say this openly, that the Willamette woman is actually filming me at groin level for some reason, for reasons that never mind. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, as the dispute over its nuclear program arrives at the UN Security Council today, Iran has vaulted to the front of the U.S. national security agenda amid Bush administration's plans for a suspended campaign. Oh, he's rallying against Ayatollahs over in that country to make them love us more than they do in Iraq.
Okay. All right. Well, so, you know, so we missed part of one war, but there'll be another one any moment now.
Iran's role in Iraq has been brought into the Saddam Hussein trial.
The most interesting testimony coming from Awad Bandar. Now, he is the former judge of the Revolutionary Court that issued the death warrant for at least 146 Shia. And he said that those Shia confessed not only to the assassination attempt against the president, but that they also confessed that their orders had come from Iran. The prosecution, however, is calling this trial imaginary and saying that those who were accused did not even appear before the court. Ahmed Damon, CNN, Baghdad.
I quit listening like halfway through that soundbite. But I will say that Saddam, that's later on, we're going to make a whole list. I was telling Mark Baumgartner for the Willamette Week earlier about this, that we're going to make three distinct lists. I've already got a role. One is things that happened while we were gone that we didn't get a chance to talk about. Two is things that I feared would happen, things that I was afraid would happen while we were off the air that I wouldn't get a chance to talk about. And then third is sort of large, in sort of benchmarks, things that happened to us that we didn't get a chance to talk about on the air, just sort of things that happened in our own lives. But there was all that Saddam craziness. And yep. We missed all of that, where he was like going to court in his pajamas, and he was going all wacky and all nuts and whatever.
I think that was Michael Jackson.
No, well, they were like a baton team. It's like one of them just you know, handed off to the other. So anyway, so we'll get to that later on.
The former lead attorney for former Enron chief executive Jeffrey Skilling completed his questioning of key prosecution witness Andrew Fastow, attempting to show that Skilling believed the transactions Fastow engineered to conflate profits were legal. Skilling's lawyer grilled Andrew Fastow last week. I guess that's better than tasering him. Nearly bring the former Enron CFO to tears.
I thought he almost made him cry. Almost made him cry like a little girl. Do we have
a... Can Lay's attorney do apply perhaps a folksier touch, trying to appeal to the jury? He's not going to go easy on Andrew Fastow, but he is probably going to try to, most of all, appeal to this local Texas jury.
Now, he leaned on the guy so hard, he almost started crying like a little girl. It was one of the most fantastically satisfying. And that's one of those headlines you just pray for every day when you wake up and it's like, you know, Ken Lay weeps like small child on witness stand. I mean, those are the things, it warms the cockles of your heart. It restores your faith in humanity in a very large way.
Because you waited so long, it's time for the Jackson Watch.
Here's your Jackson Watch. Monday.
Regulators say they'll go after Michael Jackson in court if he fails to meet a Tuesday deadline. That's tomorrow to pay $100,000 in penalties and $306,000 in back pay owed to nearly 50 workers at Neverland Ranch. If they don't comply, then we'll file suit, said Dean Pryor, a spokesman for the California Department of Industrial Relations. The ranch operators have until the close of business tomorrow to pay up. It's pretty clear that they owe this money. We've got all the wage claims. People are telling me that they haven't been paid since December 19th. Jackson's spokesman said the entertainer was on a plane from London to the Persian Gulf nation of Bahram most of the day after traveling in Europe. But then again, there was another report saying he was back in Encino.
No, he's in Encino. The irony is, of course, that Jackson insert like lame joke about how he's, you know, he's gone from being a young black man to a rich white woman. The irony is that he would fit in so well in all of those places. Like, you drop that guy right into Simi Valley, now nobody bat an eye. But here's what's going to happen. He's going to do the Idi Amin, where one day he's going to be in the news, and the next day he's just going to vanish, and he's going to be in Bahrain, and nobody's ever going to hear from him again. He's going to be gone. And then the next thing we'll hear is, like, there'll be, in 50 years, there'll be the conflicting reports about whether he's dead or whether he's alive. He's just going to vanish. He's going to be like Kaiser Soze. You know, he's gone, and then you'll never hear from him again.
Well, he's been living in Bahrain, allegedly, since being acquitted of child molestation charges last year and has been rumored for some time to be in financial trouble.
Yeah.
Forensic accountant... What kind of accountant is that? Forensic accountant John Duclos O'Brien testified at the trial that the entertainer had an ongoing cash crisis and was spending $20 million to $30 million more a year than he earned.
There's some joke there, but I'm going to skip it. It's too early in the show for a joke about...
I have to take any of these. Well, let's do. I'll tell you what. Let's do this. We're gonna break.
Our first break. Let's see if this works.
I hope this works.
Break.
We might not be taking one.
We're gonna come back. It could be like, remember at Entercom, we would push buttons and things would just smoke and explode. Yeah, and then random sound bites would just fire it. Like, we'd press a button that was supposed to be a song, and it would be like some garlic. You'd hear Larry King like, I have a brand new heart. Garlic, you know, and it would just be random sound that had nothing to do with anything. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We're going to get some of your phone calls. We've got Gary Baumgarten coming your way from New York City to talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions, which happened tonight. We got some sound on that as well. Later on, we'll talk Sopranos, and we'll read some of your emails. And coming up in the next hour, we'll talk about the great unpleasantness and how it was vanquished. So don't go anywhere. This is the Rick Emerson Show, my friends, right here on Johnson 970. You stay there. Live from the studios at Johnson 970, it's the Rick Emerson Show. It is Monday, March 13th, 2006, the greatest day of your life. Number is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I'm sure it spells something witty. I haven't found out what it is yet. We are back. We're here with Sarah X. Dillon, Tim Riley. It is the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. Coming up here in just a skosh, as our Japanese friend Sarah and talk to Gary Baumgarten of CNN Radio. Coming up later on, we have today's top five, comeback albums of all time. We're going to be talking about The Sopranos, and we will give you, starting in the 1 o'clock hour, a full recap of everything that happened last, was it April 21st? Yeah, April 21st, 2005, when things suddenly went awry. So we'll be talking about that. If you are calling right now, we're a bit overwhelmed today. So we'll be getting to your calls kind of at our earliest opportunity. So just kind of hang tight, be patient through such things as the Kingdom Games. All right, we are we're here with Tim Riley in the... I have to figure out what to call. I have to rename everything now. Because it was like the KOTK
so long.
And it was like the Max thing and then... Yeah. It sounds
and I'm in charge of all the microphones now, so I'm not really.
And I got a counter I'm broadcasting from that's like 40 feet high here. I mean, at some point you'll have to see where I'm broadcasting. I mean, the studio is fantastic and it's come together really quickly and they've done a whole lot with a whole little. It's kind of befits like the whole history of the show. But seriously, I need like a phone book or something or like one of those little scooty seats from like a Denny's to be sitting on. I'm having to stand right here because if I were to sit, let me just demonstrate. They provided me with a chair. It's sort of a novelty chair. If I were to actually sit in the chair, I'm about 4 feet away from the microphone. So that's not going to work. So at some point tonight, you're going to see me wandering around Home Depot looking for like one of those big sort of wooden stooly type seats. In the meantime, this is Tim Riley in the newsroom.
And if I wanted to say I would need one of those baby seats at Denny's,
totally. And this is, my microphone here. I'll just give you a little visual layout of the studio, and I know that we're plummeting ever further behind you, but I have to give you a brief visual layout of the studio that I'm broadcasting. I'm sitting behind this counter, standing behind this counter, that I would guess is about 5 or 6 feet high. I mean, it's huge. Tim, on the other hand, Tim's counter, no lie, is like 2 feet. I mean, I know that a foot and a half. Tim is not, you know, Wilt the Stilt or nothing, but I mean, Tim's counter is like a foot and a half off the ground. Like, he literally would have to kneel to use it correctly. And the only one that's got anything that works is Sarah. So it's good times all around. This is Tim Riley.
Well, tonight's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions at the Waldorf Astoria in Manhattan will honor a slew of rock pioneers and luminaries, including Black Sabbath, Miles Davis, Leonard Skinner, the Sex Pistols, Herb Albert, and Jerry Moss. Also on the list is Debbie Harry and her band Blondie. Harry said that being part of the band can be very, very exciting.
Can be very exciting in a band because it's, you know, it is this kind of collective effort, you know, and you end up with this one, you know, sort of assault, as it were, and, you know, it can be very exciting.
Yeah, when she's not being honored for her rock and roll past, Harry and Blondie go on the road updating their songs for the new sounds of today.
What we do is we sort of dissect them and put them back together in new ways. And, you know, we rearrange them and try to modernize them, bring them up to date a little bit.
Yeah, that's what everybody wants to see. Everybody wants to see you screwing with your songs. It's like when Bon Jovi was on tour, a year and a half ago, and they were playing that, they were doing that horrible version of Wanted Dead or Alive, where they took out the And I've Rocked Them All line. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay, never mind. It's like a thing I imagined in my head that doesn't really exist.
That's a good way to kill time.
Dude, that's all the show is, my friend. Guys, we'll take Gary in like 10 seconds here, but guys come up to me, they're like, I had this terrible job, and what do you do? Well, I have to eat asbestos all day, and then a guy comes by and slams my testicles in a drawer, and then I go home, and I hate my wife. And it's but then they'll say, but you're like 3 hours make the you. They go by faster with the show, and that's it. If I can waste 3 hours of your time, my friend, that's all I'm here to do. So we were going to welcome Gary Baumgartner to the show with his theme from the old Rick Emerson show, which was the Andrew WK, was the I Love New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really able to find that.
It
so
was savagely erased.
Instead, we're just going to use the Starland Vocal Band. Sarah, if you want to go ahead and... Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from CNN Radio. A man in NYC, Gary Baumgartner. How are you, sir?
Hey, long time no talk to.
Gary, how are you, man?
I'm terrific. How are you?
It's been a bit of a week, as Dan Rydell might say. You and I, we should give people a brief sort of background on this. Now, I know that a majority of the people who are listening to the show today, that's simply because this show came together so quickly, the return of this show to the airwaves, that most of the people who are listening are sort of long-term, diehard, they're what radio people call P1s. They're sort of old-school fans. And so they will remember you from, I don't know, two iterations of the show ago, something like that, like 2003, where we would have you CNN guys on. And we were working for this company called Fisher, and then we were absorbed, that's a charitable way to put it, I suppose, by this company called Entercom. And Entercom didn't really want us. We were sort of the steak knives that go along with, you know, like when you buy a dehydrator and they go, you buy the dehydrator, you'll also get
the potato peeler.
That's what it was. We were the potato peeler. And the first thing they did was, what do you do on the show? Well, we talk to CNN. Nobody cares about CNN. Gone. And they just terminate our CNN contract. Like, no warning, no prep time, anything. It's like one day you guys were coming on the show and the next you were gone. And
yes, it was very abrupt.
I know, and so I got an email from some of the CNN guys like, why don't you want us on the show anymore? Don't you love us? And it had nothing to do with our show. It was totally a corporate decision. So that when we came over here, the very first thing I did was to reinstate the CNN agreement. So that's why we got you guys back, man. So it's good to talk to you.
Right, man, because I missed the show, I got to tell you.
Well, of course. What do you got? New York, you know how many radio shows what are you going to do? Listen to the crap that's on there now? I don't think so. You got nothing, my friend.
There's so little originality anymore. You're absolutely right.
My friend, we're all about originality. And so,
I know that.
As part of that, I'd like to talk to you about the same story that you've talked to 50 other stations about today.
It's the same story we talked to the last time we were on the air together 3 years ago.
Probably. That's all I do, man. I'm just on one endless loop. So you're there in Manhattan because the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, what is it, the induction ceremony tonight, right?
Yeah, I'm at the Waldorf Astoria. No, they're not putting me up here, unfortunately.
Now, why? Here's a question. Because the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is actually in the thriving metropolis of Cleveland, right?
Right, that's
so,
right.
So why are they not having the induction ceremony there? It seems like Cleveland gets shafted out of all the good stuff.
Because I'm here.
Okay.
And all the other news media is here, so they come here in order to get the attention.
All right. And so this is just going to be the same. Who's being inducted? Is it just the same wrinkled list of has-beens that nobody cares about? I don't even know.
It's a controversy again. Miles Davis, the late, great jazz musician, is being inducted. And, he was great, but that's like conducting Bob Seger to the Jazz Hall of Fame. A lot of people are wondering, well, what's that all about?
Yeah, when I think rock, I think Miles Davis.
Yeah, exactly. Blondie is being inducted, the Sex Pistols, but they are so anti-establishment, and this to them is establishment, and they said, buzz off, and they are boycotting.
The Sex Pistols actually, I don't know if you've gone to, I think it's sexpistols.com or something. The Sex Pistols actually wrote, and it's exactly what you want to see from one of those bands. It's always great when your heroes don't let you down. You know what I mean? When they go an alternative to Eric Clapton wearing tortoiseshell glasses and singing songs about his dead kid for 10 years. The Sex Pistols scrawled this great note, and it was all like misspelled and had like stains on it. And it was all like, F you and eat me and bollocks. You know, and then that was like faxed it to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We're not, screw you. And so they're not going to be there. Is Black Sabbath going to be there?
Black Sabbath, I'm told, will be here, but we don't believe, at least we haven't heard yet, that they are performing. And, Ozzy went on a tirade against the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So, I don't know whether they're going to come backstage to talk to us after they are inducted. I hope so, because that could be the most interesting interview of all tonight. Leonard Skinner's going to be here, Blondie.
Leonard Skinner, what did he bring, the truck full of urns or something in? And now... I'm sorry, that was beneath me. That was a cheap joke. I shouldn't have said that.
But it'll be fun, I think. And You know, I'm kind of looking forward to it. Now, you won't be able to see it until Thursday the 21st on VH1, and it'll be a heavily edited or redacted version of what I'm seeing here today.
Yeah, yeah, I know. At VH1, they do that thing where everything... The problem with VH1, now, they had all that success with I love cheesy nostalgia, you know, generation, you know, whatever. I love the 80s and I love the whatever. And so now everything is produced like that. Everything is produced, and they take like a 5-hour event and they cut it down to 3 minutes, and then like Mo Rocca shows up halfway through and says something pithy. And so it's pointless to watch any of that stuff. But because every year at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, there's always like one band that everybody loves, and then there's always a bunch of like a new wave crap that nobody really cares about.
Right. And you wonder where, you know, and I may be off on a couple of these people because I haven't researched when their first album was produced, and you're not qualified until 25 years after your first album. But where's Rush? Where's Iggy Pop? Where's Van Halen? Where's Metallica?
Dude,
where's Alice Cooper?
Alice Cooper. Kiss isn't even in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The single most successful American rock group of all time, and they're not in.
Where's R.E.M.?
Yeah,
where's poor Chubby Checker, who I don't see him. I'm standing outside the hotel in years past. The poor guy's been standing across the street in the median with a little sign. Why not me?
He's busy picking up cans somewhere.
Probably.
Yeah. So now it's a load. It's a load, and I only talk about it because it gives me a chance to talk about elitist music critics. So that's kind of the only reason. But you know that like the nanosecond that Paul Westerberg and the Replacements are ready, bam, in. He's probably in now. Mark Baumgarten, you're a journalist. Is Paul Westerberg in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Okay. But you know that, like, the minute he's eligible, we'll do that. So, all right. So you're going to be there, and we'll maybe get a little recap from you tomorrow if some sort of a brawl breaks out. All right. Gary Baumgarten.
For you guys. Thanks for fighting for us to get us back on your air.
Hey, my friend, it's mi casa, mi show, whatever Spanish for show is your... You're welcome anytime, is my point.
Thank you, brother.
Great, thank you. Gary Baumgarten there in the New York City.
They have a lot of job security at CNN.
Dude, no one ever gets fired there. It's like working for the government or something. I think it's because, like, I think working at CNN, it's kind of like how Fox was for a long time, where it's like shows stayed on the air because they just forgot they existed. You know, and it's like they have those magnetic boards in the conference room where they put up what the shows are, and it's like the X-Files is allowed to exist because they just forgot it was even on. It's like I looked at it. We haven't had those guys on the show for 3 years, and I look at the... I look at the run sheet this morning, and it's the same old thing. It's like Jim Roop. I mean, which is fine. I love those guys.
Yep.
But, you know, so, you know, I have no problem bringing those same guys back. I suppose I could be... Never mind. I almost said something uncharitable towards him.
We're saving that for next hour.
I had to fight it back. All right, should I take a couple of these calls, and then we'll do...
Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right. Let's see. It is 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show right here on Johnson 970. Live. What did you say? Live from high atop the bottom of the coin tower?
We are high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon.
That's fantastic. I'm going to start using that. So we are here on the Rick Emerson Show. We are back. It is our first day. If you weren't privy to it, you didn't know what was going to happen, maybe you saw something on the web about it. So as we move through today's show, we're going to get up to speed. We're going to be doing some of our old stuff. We got the top 5 comeback albums of all time later on. We're going to talk about The Sopranos. We got a couple more watches with Tim Riley. But let's do this. Let's go ahead and take a couple of these calls. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Tyler the Hippie, old-time friend of the Rick Emerson Show.
Great. Thanks. All right. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Doing a radio show.
Oh, good. Well,
something
hey.
New and different for him.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
And Tim, Sarah, hello. Welcome back as well.
Thank you very much.
And
this is going to be the content of most of the calls today, right? I'm just going to answer the phone. People are going to go, hey, how are you? And I'll say, I'm fine. And they'll go, yeah.
You know, it's because of them we're here.
I know. I'm not trying to knock them. I'm just saying. It's going to be one of those. It's
going to be a feel-good day.
I know it's strange for me to say this, but it almost feels like a little too self-aggrandizing for me. And I know that I'm the last guy on earth you would ever think would say that. But so how has radio been since in the 11 months we've been off the air? Is it a living hell? Is it torment every day to wake up?
Well, no, I can't tell you. I haven't listened to FM radio ever since I got my Sirius radio. So
thank you. Thanks.
You are the only reason to bring me back to testicle radio.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So,
all right.
I don't know what that means to you, but it means a whole lot to me.
Can we? You know what we should have prepared? We should have prepared like one of those sitcom sounds for like when the little boy gets his puppy back or something, or when the dad goes, you know what, we may disagree, but we're still family. And then everybody goes, aw. We should totally have had that sound effect ready for today because it's going to be one aw moment after another. All right.
That's me and you, Rick. We don't always see eye to eye, but we are, like, family.
Okay.
Or not.
Okay, goodbye. All right, there you go. That's Tyler. All right. There's going to be a whole lot of that. And can we impose some sort of a fine on people who insist on using the phrase terrestrial? I can't tell you how much I detest that term.
Because what term?
Terrestrial radio, it's what they call, you know, like regular radio, where it's like over the air, and because there's a satellite.
Power sticking the ground.
Yeah, there's a satellite radio and internet radio and later radio through your teeth and mentholated radio and whatever. And the terrestrial radio, here's why I hate it. Terrestrial radio is one of those terms that I detest, not because it's not accurate. I suppose it is, because terrestrial, terra, the earth, da-da-da-da. But terrestrial radio is one of those terms that the media just made up and then decided to force on all of us, like metrosexual.
Or
like,
J-Lo.
Yeah, or J-Lo. And one of those, some guy working at, like, the New Republic somewhere just said, today it's terrestrial radio. Go! And they sent a fax out everywhere. But it's like, I haven't come up with any better term, and so I'm obliged to use it every time I talk to somebody about radio, and it makes me want to jab out my ears with a meat thermometer.
Traditional broadcast radio?
There you go. Rick Emerson Show. Hi, who's this?
It's Clyde.
Clyde, how are you?
I'm doing good. Am I calling you at the right time or what?
Yeah, bro, from noon to three. We are here. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, our good friend Clyde Lewis, ClydeLewis.com.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm just here doing my radio show.
Okay.
Everybody says, what's going on, as though I'm expected to be doing macrame or something.
Well, I figured maybe you were doing an origami class or something. That's what I'm checking up on anyway.
Yes.
Hey, a lot of your listeners have been writing me about this rumble that was heard all over Portland or all over Oregon the past couple of days. You've been talking about this at all?
A rumble like in West Side Story, like where they were mixing it up with some hooligans?
No, we're talking like rumbling in the skies above.
Like bowling.
Like bowling, like the gods were bowling. Mm-hmm. Yep. More or less. And
that's called thunder, Clyde.
No, this is bigger than that.
No, it wasn't thunder. No, there was no cloud in the sky when this was going on. People didn't know what it was, and they didn't see anything that would have... the rumble came from the coast all the way into the mountains. So whatever this rumble was, it was very interesting. And I had talked with somebody. In fact, I got an email, and I decided I would look into it a little bit. I talked with somebody, and they were saying that the Air Force and several other groups will not say what happened. At first, it was reported that it could have been a meteor or something crashing through the skies, but apparently they're keeping pretty mum about what happened. It was, I guess, Saturday evening that this was going on.
Yeah, that's right. I was sitting
a little after nine.
Well, it's a couple of weeks ago. I was sitting at my house. I was in my office, like reading the book or whatever, and it was the earthquake, right? We had an earthquake about a month ago.
Exactly, and I was in my house when that happened too, and that was kind of strange. But they were saying that they do not know. But here's the funny thing: is I talked with somebody at USGS, and they were saying that they detected some sort of rumbling off the coast in the ocean, and that it was just a small little tremor.
That's just a bad case of Cthulhu. That's all that is.
Well, news crews were taking off Dirty Dining and the sex criminal next door to go out and investigate.
Totally.
This.
And they were doing that thing on Coin where it's like they would just have idiots call in from Portland and go,
did you feel it?
What is their slogan at Coin, Sarah? Is it like news matters first or people matter first? What is their
news that's to the point.
News that's to the point. And so the point is that they don't have anything to fill their time with except for idiots from the Portland area who call up and go, I was at my house and I heard the rumbling too. And then they say, well, how did the rumbling affect you? I was at the house and I heard the rumbling too. And then that's it. And then they do that like eight or nine times with people named Myrtle from Portland. And then they go back to like Days of Our Life.
I was sitting on my bed. And
yeah.
The cat
rumbling.
Toys roll down the living room floor.
We're under the gun, but what's coming up in your world, Clyde? We got to do some other stuff, but what's coming up in the world of Clyde Lewis?
Well, I'll be speaking at Dante's tonight. I'll be doing that at about 8 o'clock, Dante's Southwest 3rd and Burnside. I'm going to be talking about what is terrorism and what isn't terrorism. Seems that a guy decided that he'd get in his SUV and run down about 15 people at a university in North Carolina. I have the 9/11 call, the full 9/11 call that I'm going to be playing at Dante's tonight. We're going to decide whether or not this guy was really a terrorist or if he was just some guy who was on drugs.
Excellent.
It's really a scary call, though. You got to come by just to listen to the guy and how calm he was about what he did.
So Clyde Lewis, check him out live tonight, and it's ClydeLewis.com. All right, my friend, we will talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
All right, there you go. There's our good friend Clyde Lewis. Ladies and gentlemen, it's more from Tim Riley in the Johnson 970 newsroom, city desk place thing.
Well, President Bush begins a series of public speeches this week on the subject of Iraq. CNN's Lisa Goodard said the president will try to show what he knows that people are feeling about.
He's also going to make the larger case here that he's optimistic. Why? Because he says the military is adapting its tactics on the ground and also political progress. You know, that bombing of that Shiite mosque, the Golden Temple just last month, a lot of people thought it was going to be civil war. That just didn't happen.
Now, that doesn't mean he's not optimistic or pessimistic.
Especially the president is trying to convince Americans that he gets it. He is going to say that amid daily reports of these car bombings, these kidnappings, and brutal killings,
like
that there
are
some Americans who believe that this is not worth it.
I'm here at the Helpful Snip Lawn and Garden Center reporting on the... All right. Well, it's good to see that some things haven't changed. Because when we went off the air, wasn't he trying to convince... Like last April, wasn't he trying to convince people that we were on the comeback? That we were on the return trail in Iraq?
Yep.
We've got to be running out of people to kill. I mean,
we're in the throes of dead enders.
I mean, I suppose relatively speaking, it's all good news, I guess. At some point, they've got to run out of people who are going to blow up. And that's one of the win columns, as far as I'm concerned. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, President Bush headlined the annual Golden Gridiron political press roast over the weekend. And Vice President Cheney was the target of the humor. Cheney's much-publicized Texas hunting incident when he shot a friend in the face was laughed about by all. Bush pointed out that the vice president's full name is Richard B. Cheney. B stands for bullseye, Bush said to the laughter of hundreds of reporters and congresspeople. Bush joked, the press blew the whole matter out of proportion. He said, quote, good Lord, you would have thought he shot somebody or something.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was a laugh line.
You had to be at the dinner.
I guess it was. Okay.
Lynn Cheney was the Republican speaker and opened by saying that because she came late in the program, the hunting jokes had all been used.
All right.
Is what happened over the weekend.
I'm looking at this email here. We'll do one more watch here in a second, and then we'll break.